Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
Absolutely.
If we're uncomfortable
Absolutely.
Talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR, and this is What's Next. I'm Jay Moran, and very pleased to have back with us in studio with us from Niagara Pride, the co-executive directors, Dr. Ron Piacesny, and also Sherry Fawcett. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming in, of course, and thanks for making time in your incredibly busy schedules, because you also have careers above and beyond what goes on in Niagara Pride. But Niagara Pride is very busy. Busy June coming up, but it's been busy since the beginning of the year, you were telling me.
Yes.
What's fueling the activity?
So for us, one of the things that was important within our fifth year of existence was taking Niagara Pride from just being a organization that works within the community to now finally have a place within the community.
Okay.
And not just in terms of acceptance, which is always important. So I'm not talking figuratively, but this year we moved our offices and have a physical base of operation where we've been operating since April, holding programs and events so that people from Niagara County and even Erie County can now physically come to our offices and enjoy programming and services and events right in our new space.
Okay, that's in downtown Niagara Falls?
Downtown Niagara Falls, yep, 1522 Main Street.
Pinnacle building.
Yep.
How's that working out?
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah?
I can't tell you how amazing it is. We have a conference room, a large conference room, a small conference room for presentations of things. Just this week we had Drag 101, which was, I did not think it was going to be very big.
Okay.
I ended up having to bring chairs in to fit people in the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've also had, what else have we had?
We've had legal clinics, presentations from UB Law have been there. We had a housewarming office opening kind of ceremony.
Dignitaries
coming in. It's the office is alive and active, and people coming in. And I'm going to say this, one of the things, we've always had our regulars that come to a lot of our events,
right,
or our social meetups that we do in the community. We are seeing faces and people we've never seen who are coming in, because what I believe, and maybe sure you've seen something a little different, you've had a chance to talk to them a little bit more, but I think it's a safe and welcoming environment,
yes,
that for the LGBTQ community, and I know myself, I feel welcome there. I feel safe to go to a space that's mine, that I can be my authentic self. I know that there's people there that will listen to me, whatever my issues are. Sherry is there, serving as a volunteer staff member, since we don't have paid staff, but she is there 3 days a week. And then along with the programs and services that we've been offering and that we're going to be building on coming up in the fall, as well as the summer, getting some ongoing services. I think it's just something that has absolutely been critical and needed in Niagara County.
Well, I would like to think that, like you said, new faces are showing up.
Yes.
It highlights the need for it, right? That,
yeah,
despite years and years, I'll call it progress, there's still that sense that some people are still reticent about coming forward.
Yes.
Exactly. And I think something that we have seen here in Buffalo, we've been very lucky in Buffalo in that we have had agencies that have a long history, 30 plus years of existence, let's say for like GLSS, Gay and Lesbian Youth Services, or the Pride Center. And so people in Buffalo have known about a space that they could go to and get help, or just pop in, say hi, or even if they didn't, just knowing that it exists provides some level of comfort and safety. Again, I think safety being the key word, that you can be yourself. And not having that in Niagara County, that folks from the most rural parts of Niagara County would have to come to Buffalo, created barriers.
Sure.
They couldn't get there. Some people didn't have transportation. A lot of the people that come to our office are coming by bus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's difficult.
Exactly.
And now where we are now in Niagara Falls, I'm finding out a little bit more. The bus station is right down the street from us, so they can get dropped off there on the bus and then walk up.
Exactly.
And it was just, I just found that out after our last event that we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to jump back just because you mentioned it and the different events that you've had at the new office. Drag 101. And you said it was, I think I know what it means by the title, but I'd like to just get into it just a little bit because, like you said, a lot of people showed up, a surprising amount of people showed up for this. So let's take a look at it from both sides. What was offered and also what you saw in terms of, I guess, the curiosity or interest of those attending.
Well, Drag 101 is kind of just teaching everybody the history of drag and what it means to the community and everything. And it was a little bit of makeup, a little bit of talk. And the people that, it surprised me, the people that attended were such a big variety. A lot of them have never done drag, so it was their first time. Some have done drag, but didn't really understand what they, you know, what it was all about. And so Freddie and Blue Darlin gave them all of that, and they also did their makeup from the start.
Wow.
Just the start. And then the finishing of their makeup. And it was just watching, sitting in that room and watching people's faces. And then afterwards coming up to me and thanking me for having that. And I said, oh, we're having another one.
Oh, really?
Yes, in June.
Okay.
In June.
June. You guys got a lot going on in June.
We have a lot going on in June, and that's not to overshadow all the other things that we're going to be doing as well in the in the fall with our LGBTQ youth drop-in center, senior drop-in center that we want to do as well. So we have a lot going on.
Yeah, well, let's definitely try to break through it, but it just kind of keep this conversation flowing because I think it is it's going real well so far. So so the office, the new office is working out well. That's great news for sure. What about just a general, like, so it sounds like you're tapping into a need in Niagara County and in that region as well. At the same time, you know, we hear different waves of attitudes boiling here and there around the country. We'll be like that. What are you seeing? Are you sensing anything? Different apprehensions from people? What are you hearing about?
So right now, I think one of the indicators and gauges that I think I use when I go and give presentations and talk to people and try to get that temperature of the community is I look at the ACLU and I look at some of the work that they're doing, and they track across the country how many different anti-LGBTQ pieces of legislation are put out every year. And that's state, federal, and local levels. Some of these pieces of legislation never pass, some do, but the sheer introduction of such laws really starts showing kind of what's happening in the country. Last year, we ended the year at 533 pieces of introduced legislation, and that can be anything from anti-trans bills, bathroom bills preventing trans individuals from accessing the bathroom, education where curriculum is modified to take out LGBTQ history, to equal housing, employment, you name it. It runs the gambit. And as of the end of April of 2025, so 5 months, not even five right. months, 4 months into the year, we were at 575 pieces of legislation.
Wow.
I would not be surprised. I hope this doesn't go that way, but I'm going to kind of put it out there. I would not be surprised if we hit 1,000 maybe this year anti-LGBTQ pieces of legislation around the country.
Let's hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong too. I mean, that's a prediction I don't want to be right mm-hmm. on, but we're looking at, we're not even halfway through the year.
I know.
And we have already hit last year's numbers and exceeded it by 50 already. And that's within the first 4 months. So to the question of what drives people maybe to come to our centers to seek out LGBTQ programs and services, you can't turn on the TV or the news without seeing something on the local level, a council member, a state legislator, a bill that's being introduced, something on the federal level. The LGBTQ community is constantly bombarded with anti-bills, legislations, you name it, rhetoric that is impacting our daily lives. And whether or not we live in a progressive state, fortunately here in New York, we are on the more liberal side. We are more progressive in terms of rights and legislation, which is phenomenal. However, our brothers and sisters around the country, depending on where they're living, are not so fortunate. And so we know that this is a daily concern that they are seeing. But I also want to just kind of point out that even if you do live in a progressive state, such as here in New York, when you, again, turn on the news, when you go to the internet and you see these news reports, even knowing that here in New York you're protected, you don't know as a teenager or as a kid where your life is going to take you. You may end up going to school out of state. You may find a job in another state. Are your rights going to be protected? Is marriage equality going to be upheld? There's already potential challenges that may make it to the Supreme Court, that may overturn Obergefell. We're seeing this, and the anxiety that is building within the community, you can feel it.
You can feel it.
You can touch it. You can hear it in the way people speak, in the presentations that we have had from UB Law that came to our offices. I don't want to say that they commandeered the presentation because that sounds negative. The presenters at some point stopped because there were just so many questions.
Right.
About, oh. Am I even allowed as a trans person to get a passport? What happens if I try to leave the country right now?
Go to Canada.
I'm just curious. What were the? I mean, this might be for another program with maybe experts on this, but what was the answer about that? Because as you were mentioning that, I'm recalling both the president and the congressman or congressperson from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, in a recent reminding us there are only two genders, right? We hear that. I'm both interested in the legal element of it, but maybe the conversation that we're hearing as well.
So we are hearing that individuals who have changed their gender marker, even though they have all the other paperwork, some have been granted passports,
okay.
But it has been reverted back to the gender at birth, not their current gender identity. So that has been causing some confusion because, again, if depending on where you are in the transition process, you may not resemble what somebody may think of looks like a right. male, looks like a female, based on a piece of paper.
Mm.
And so even though there are right now, we are seeing that, okay, yes, some documents are getting processed. Some people are apprehensive about submitting documents for renewals and whatnot. But again, the confusion and the anxiety around, well, what happens when I try to come back to this country and let's say my document says one gender, but you look at me, I am not
male,
presenting female, that right now. What happens? And we haven't seen anything yet. I am not aware. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened.
Sure.
I just personally am not aware yet. But I'm sure that that's soon on the forefront. We will be seeing some of those. Yeah. Those issues.
Like you said, a lot of confusion, obviously a lot of apprehension. What else are people expressing about this type of issue?
Well,
just unknown. I mean, they don't know.
Yeah.
Because things are changing so fast, but not fast. You know what I mean? It's just they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
They don't know who to go to. And there's nothing written in stone saying it's going to be this way or it's going to be that way.
Yeah. It's, I think like right now, like a great example, employment. Employment is something that people are fearful of.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Title VII has been expanded under the Bostock case to include sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression. So that was a couple years ago. So as far as we knew on the federal level, you were protected if you were LGBTQ and experiencing employment discrimination. Now, with the executive orders the way they are, if you are a federal employee, there are questions. How safe are you potentially in your position? And we have seen the pulling back of diversity measures. But I think there's just right now there is that level of concern with regards to those kinds of things. And it doesn't help when we look at historical context. Those of us that may remember in the community, whether gay, straight, LGBTQ or ally. But if you lived through and remembered the McCarthy era, witch hunts, for lack of a better word, against the LGBTQ community. And right now there's been a pulling back from the Department of Justice, basically saying that if you are LGBTQ, that is no longer a protected class for the purposes of investigations. So you can't, after the McCarthy era, the government said, look, we will not go after people. We're not going to fire them. We're not going to investigate people just because you are openly out. And that has now, within the last couple of months, been revoked to say that, no, that is not an exemption anymore. So it reads as if the government wanted to investigate somebody just based on their sexual orientation, they could. I haven't heard anything that it has happened. But again, it is these, as Sherry just put it, these unknowns because of language being withdrawn and yanked from pieces of legislation, policy documents, that we don't know what the ramifications are going to be. And it's just leaving people in this constant state of wonder.
Right.
And what are my rights?
You don't want to test the waters either. You don't want to be that person that will have that happen to. So people are afraid to do anything.
Yeah. I'm also wondering as well, especially for young people, hearing about this. And I know you could share probably your own personal experience, but just that time of your life where you're coming to terms with who you are. And I can only imagine what it's like for a teenager, an adolescent, who already is dealing with all the other things that an adolescent goes through, and all the wild, crazy things that go on inside you. What it might be like for some of these young people, and maybe the concerns that we have for them right now in this moment.
I'm gonna throw something out there because I love movies. I'm a big movie guy with quotes, and so the reference may be a little bit odd, but I think it'll answer that question, or at least try to answer the question you just posed. 2010, so the follow up to 2001, A Space Odyssey. There is a scene where Spoiler alert for anybody who has not seen the movie. It's like over 30 years now, so I don't think I'm giving anything away. It's
but
not
you
like
the youth have maybe not seen
that's
it.
Well, okay. That's
it might
true.
Draw them to the movie.
Right? Exactly, okay. Exactly. So it's not like The Crying Game where I'm giving some away or some secret here, or like the Titanic. It sank, people.
Oh, no,
it
you
sank.
Didn't. You just ruined it for people.
Go watch it anyway. But that being the case, so in 2010, at the very end of the movie, there's aliens, there's humans, there's all this stuff going on. But ultimately, there is a second star that is created in our solar system. And the narrator talks about how future generations, every child born on Earth at that point, will only know of an Earth with two stars in it, in the sky. And for those that were born after a certain point, I think Sherry and I are starting to, we meet younger LGBTQ people all the time. They have, for the most part, lived in a world where they don't remember the AIDS epidemic as severe.
Don't know about it.
They may know
just
about it.
The historical parts of it they know.
But not
the actual.
Living in fear because of things like PrEP and PEP and the medications that have come about. They know of marriage equality. They know of all these things. They don't fear being terminated from their job because of being LGBTQ. They have lived in this world where, as far as they've known, these things have existed for them for their whole lifetime. So those of us that are older, I think, see it from the perspective, and at least I do when I look at stuff, is I studied it. I read about these things. I lived during that period. My formative years as a gay kid was during the height of the AIDS epidemic. I remember the prejudice, the discrimination that occurred. I always hoped and wished that marriage equality would be a thing. I did not see it as being possible in my lifetime until certain things started to happen. And I'm like, wow, this could really happen. Like, I could actually be married.
And you are.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. It was a few years ago. But
belated congratulations.
Exactly. So I think we look at it as we've seen a world where those of us that are older, it didn't exist. It was an incredibly difficult battle to win those rights. And we know how easily it can be taken away. And I think the younger generation, having seen or having grown up having those rights, doesn't have yet that personal experience of having it stripped from them. And I don't wish that for anybody.
Oh, I know.
Because it's horrific to have that happen.
To have it, then take it away.
Exactly. And I think that's, I don't want to say it's eye-opening, but it's very interesting to hear those perspective of young people because they're angry. I think they see what may be happening. They turn on the news. They talk to those that remember those times. I feel that there is a passion and a concern. But again, it's for those of us that have lived through those experiences, it's not a theoretical.
Right.
It's not that we're protesting or championing something that may or may not happen. We know what it was like when we didn't have that. We don't want to go back. And so that's my hope, is that in the sense that the younger generation never experiences that on a large scale federal level, and that maybe this is just a blip in history, and that the pendulum will swing back to a little bit more stability in terms of rights and equality for everyone. But I do love the passion that I do see in the younger generation fighting for equality right now.
And just to take that a step further, when we're talking about LGBTQ young people, they have the passion. Are they finding, as best you understand, people with them that are straight that are with them in the same vein? I guess I'm looking as an older individual that there's some sort of hope for this younger generation to come, and perhaps, like you said, this could only maybe only be a small blip in history.
So, identifying as a gay man, I think this is maybe a question for Sherry. Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, again, none of us are the young people, but I'm just curious.
Now I'm a young person.
You are the young person in the room.
I'm the old person.
In this room, you're the young person, right? Yeah.
But being somebody who's, I mean, you identify as an ally. You don't hide the fact that you're an ally.
No.
What drives you? Why are you with us?
Because I need to help. I have that passion. I'm a Black woman, first and foremost, and an ally. But as a Black person, I've always had the prejudice going on in my life. So I understand what they're going through. And if I didn't do anything, it would be wrong.
I think just as a side note, I was just speaking at a Holocaust event. And I think one of the messages that all Holocaust survivors and second and third generation, those of us that talk about it, I think our biggest thing is always about education and that need to be that person or that agent of change to ensure that it never happens to somebody else. Working with the Jewish population that I've worked with, working with Polish individuals that had experienced the Holocaust, again, being a second generation survivor of the Holocaust. My father was in a camp, and it doesn't matter, like you're saying, it doesn't matter if it's a Black African-American individual, it doesn't matter if it's an Asian individual, if whatever the race, ethnicity, gender. We're all humans, and we never want to see that happen to anybody. So I think that's, we all have to work together.
We have to work together.
We'll take a break on that somewhat high note, and we'll come back and we'll talk about all the other things that are going on. You've got a busy June ahead of you. We want to get into all of those various events because in their own scope, they're eye-opening as well. We'll talk more here with from Niagara Pride to their co-executive directors, Dr. Ron Piacesny and Sherry Fawcett. This is What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR.
This is Jack Cruiser with The Scoreboard on BTPM NPR. Listen during Morning Edition and All Things Considered each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the latest on pro matchups and college rivalries, as well as standout local athletes from Western New York and Southern Ontario. Want more? Listen to a longer version of The Scoreboard at btpm.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM Listen app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Well, I'd like to think the conversation we're having right now is most certainly needed. From Niagara Pride with us, Dr. Ron Piacesny and Sherry Fawcett, co-executive directors. Appreciated all the seriousness and the issues that we just got into, but also a little bit of the levity as well, and how things are moving forward no matter what. And boy, looking at your website for June is unbelievable. And actually, it starts on May 31st. So this is so encouraging to see this, the flag raisings that you're having around Niagara County.
Yes. So May 30th.
May 30th. Okay, thank you.
I was thinking.
Oh, wait. Did you just add another event to our schedule?
I thought there was something else I forgot on my calendar.
Well, you have an open day. We'll find something for you.
Not surprised. Oh, man. So, no, May 30th. This is a tradition that we have been, 15 years.
Three for me.
Three for you, 15 for me, where we started doing a flag raising just in Niagara Falls. And over the years, the community has really rallied around the fact that the flag raising is an important, not only symbolic gesture, but it brings the community out. People come to watch, see it.
They take lunch breaks, whatever, and to be there. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible between the news and the public being there. It's just great.
Yeah. So I mean, you're at Niagara Falls, but you're also I didn't write down all of the places, and you probably don't know all of that. But I think Lockport, right?
Yes.
We are in Lewiston. The day starts off in Lewiston, Niagara Falls State Park. Niagara Falls City Hall. Then we do a North Tonawanda Pride flag raising and a Lockport.
That's where we divide.
Yes.
And conquer.
Yes.
We do it together, and then it came.
Because of the times.
The timing. So we had to split, and I'll be at one, and he'll be at the other one.
Yeah. So it's safe to, I guess, assume then that you're being welcomed in by.
Yes.
By town, municipal officials in these cases.
Yes. Yeah? And the state parks.
Yes, yes. I think there's a lot of agencies. Like Lewiston is actually at Art Park.
Okay.
So that creates a nice space for the community because it's a nonprofit. Art Park is a nonprofit. A lot of people go there. It's highly visible to show that. Again, not only is Art Park open and affirming, but so many people I think equate Lewiston with Art Park and the concerts and the events that happen there. So it serves a dual purpose in that it's also inviting people to Lewiston and shows that that welcoming spirit there. Niagara Falls, that's been a 15-year tradition. So that has not changed. We have seen different administrations and they have all been very welcoming. And even when COVID prevented us from being able to physically gather, the city itself found ways to promote Pride Month and do that. So we have been very blessed to work with them as great community partners. And then just the more recent ones with North Tonawanda and Lockport. Lockport, this is now its third year, if I remember correctly. And this will be the second year for North Tonawanda.
So, I mean, I could get lost in a lot of these particular events, but we'll just kind of go through them a little bit, and then others can go to the website and find out like I did. But in June, of course, you have a spiritual gathering.
June 5th.
Yes. That grew out of during the COVID period, we had to find ways and to do things outside. And so our very first spiritual gathering was with a group of 8 or 9, if I remember correctly. I knew you weren't on the board yet.
I wasn't there. No, not yet.
But we had about 8 or 9 different ministers, pastors, a Buddhist monk that wanted to do something for the community. So we met in a park, spread ourselves out far enough. So social distancing still a thing, which I'm not, let's just say I love social distancing.
Sure.
Keep 3 feet away from me.
I agree.
There's definitely an advantage
personal
to
space.
It.
Exactly. Right. But it was something that the community gravitated towards, wanting to learn more about the different faiths and how they are welcoming and accepting and embracing. Over time, it's been a weird program. We have found that even though there are people that talk about wanting to continue and to be at it, we have found attendance diminishing. And I think that part of that, if I'm going to be honest, I just feel that it goes back to our political discussion that I think we're seeing a lot in the world that may make people apprehensive about wanting to go to maybe something that is a structured religious ceremony or having negative experiences with different religions and people of faith. So this particular event creates a space that is affirming, is welcoming, and gives folks that opportunity to talk to ministers, maybe challenge some of those ideas in a very, welcoming environment. That I can't stress that enough. I think that affirming environment, so that maybe if that's something that folks need, they have that opportunity to access it. We didn't want to scrap a program just because we saw diminishing attendance. We want to find ways that are going to still meet the different needs, whether it's legal, food, housing. Like, we want to be there for everyone. And spiritual needs are important for a lot of individuals. So we want to keep offering that and see what happens. What
got to keep throwing different things. We keep trying different things to see what the community wants. We're trying to get some praise dancers. Any praise dancers out there, please contact me. We're having that and just some speakers and just some different things for that event. And there will be a little food afterwards. Food always brings people.
Where are you having it? Is it the office? No.
No.
It's at the... I always butcher this, so please edit this in post-production, I think it's the Universalist Unitarian or Unitarian Universalist. I always forget which one goes first, but it's the UU Church in Niagara Falls.
Okay. Yes. Very good. Very good. On June 5th. Lots of other things going on, to say the least. Mm-hmm. You're going to be out in some of the rural areas, including Newfane.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
This will be the first time?
No.
Okay. No.
This will be our third time in Newfane.
Okay.
We had an amazing partnership with Calhoun's Pub.
Okay.
And so we were able to use their facilities to host a very small Pride celebration in
small
kind of
but mighty.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of phrasing it.
Yes.
It was in their back area, so it was fenced. So it created this nice, warm environment, very intimate setting. Mm-hmm. And Calhoun's, they left the area. Mm. So unfortunately, we didn't have that same space anymore. So this year, we wanted to open it, and hence the name of it now, Pride Now. Wow. To embrace also Olcott and Wilson, the neighboring cities.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
So we're having it in Newfane, but it's going to be at, it's the gazebo.
Yeah. I guess if you're from Newfane, you know when you say the gazebo, because there is a gazebo there.
Okay, yeah.
And they've got some other things in the gazebo, but it's a nice, once again, it's an intimate area. Easy access right off the main drag. Mm-hmm. Big parking lot in the back, everybody. That's always important.
Exactly. Right. Parking is free.
Yes, parking is free. And we're going to be having vendors this year, like before. Energy Radio will be there. That's the DJ, Paul Izzer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just curious, though, again, so now you've got some experience there, and it sounds like you had really positive events at Calhoun's. Mm-hmm. At the same time, in a rural area, is there a different vibe or a different sense or any other thing that maybe hangs in the air that you'd notice?
There is. I think from the individuals that we have spoken to in Newfane and Olcott and Wilson, if you were to read social media, you will see the countless blasts from people who have nothing but negative things to say about the LGBTQ community and the visceral hatred that exists out there. However, I don't want to scare people away because one of the things that if you look at anything, if you look at when the Sabres do Pride Night, if you look at any of the local TV stations, or even if this program gets put on your website or social media, there will be the people that troll and they will post their comments that are anti-LGBTQ. And so it's no different, whether it's a Buffalo-based event or whether it is a Erie County or even in a larger city. So you see that, and I think that just kind of creates this mental image that, that there's more hatred out there. I think it's probably the same. I think percentage-wise, it's about the same level of hate.
Wow.
But if you think about like our events, we have never had issues. We've always had very positive, warm experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been the opposite, where we've always feared that when we were doing this initially, that we may get some folks who will be unfriendly, unwelcoming. We have had grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts and uncles who will come up to our table and basically say, thank God you are here. Thank all the spirits in the universe that brought you here, because my granddaughter is X, my grandson is this, my niece.
Daughter, my family member is X, and here is a $20 donation.
And
you just it.
That's got to really push you forward.
Yeah,
it does.
It makes you want to do it more. It makes you want to come back year after year. And I'm always. Somebody always wants to curtail my energy because I always want to make it bigger and better. And he's like, well, keep control of it. Keep control. Not too much. No more bounce houses. No.
Liability.
Liability. Liability. But it's just, it makes you want to do more when you have that grandmother going, my granddaughter, I brought her with me today. Do you have programs? Do you have this? Can you tell me where to go? And then that just puts me on a, here, and here, and here's some brochures. It's a wonderful feeling.
And if I could just tell a story, one of the events that we did out there, it still rings in my head every time I think about it, but there was a father who showed up, who pulled me aside and wanted to let me know that he is incredibly grateful that today our program exists and the services that we do exist exist. But we weren't around at the time that his son was alive. And he was telling me that he, as a dad, did not take it well. And he wished he had access to the resources and the information that we provide, and that his son could have come to programming like ours in their community. Again, not having to travel to a Buffalo, having to travel to Rochester, but having something in place would have been helpful. His son did commit suicide many, many years ago, but the father continues to come to our events, very, very quiet, but is supportive. And I think that's what we also see. We see the people that have been touched by a loved one being in the LGBTQ community, whether it is a family member, a loved one, that, again, maybe they didn't have the right vocabulary. Maybe they didn't have the right tools to help that person through their coming up process. Maybe they've alienated loved ones. But they want... They want to make amends. They want to. They realize that was not the right way to handle it, and so they come to our programs looking for ways to be supportive for the next generation or for others. So it's again, it goes back to, it's not just the parties. It's not just the festivals. They're amazing, but the deeper services and the deeper meanings of having these within these smaller communities, I think, is just, it goes beyond words as to the true impact that these kinds of festivals have.
Let's take one more time out. We'll come back with our final minutes with Dr. Ron Piacesny and Sherry Fawcett, co-executive directors of Niagara Pride. This is What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media and PR.
The headlines don't stop. The world keeps moving, and through it all, you need news and information you can trust. That's where we come in. WBFO is now Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR. Same station, same trusted journalism, just with a new name. From Morning Edition to All Things Considered, from Group Chat to Friday Night Lights, from What's Next to the BBC, we bring you the stories and smart conversations that matter. No spin, no nonsense, just the perfect mix of news, information, and entertainment. Listen anytime on the BTPM Listen app or btpm.org.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM Listen app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Welcome back to What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR. I'm Jay Moran. With me, Dr. Ron Piacesny and Sherry Fawcett from Niagara Pride. June's a real busy month, and we're jumping all over the place here, but we can't miss the Pride Parade.
Yes.
Now, the Rainbow Pride Parade, right, is coming up, Rainbow City Pride Parade, June 28th, right? Did I get my date right this time? Yeah. Or no?
No, you got it right. It's not a parade.
It's an event.
It's an event.
That's
Rainbow
right.
City.
That's right.
Yes.
An event.
It's an all-day event for us.
On the 28th. Yep. That's right.
Yep.
Right. The Pride Parade, June 1st in Buffalo. Yes. You guys will be here.
Yes. We will be in it. That is our tradition. We keep getting more and more people every year.
To walk with us.
And there will be plenty of people from Buffalo Toronto Public Media there with you, by the way.
Awesome. Yeah. That's very cool.
That's for sure.
Yes.
Hey, wait, let's use this as a moment to talk about that then, to bring people out.
Yes.
Why should they come?
Why should they? Why should they not come?
Oh my God!
Wow.
Wow.
That's the harshest reaction I've had for a question in 3 years on this program.
No,
it's for a better word, fabulous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You get there at 7 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's out there decorating their vehicles, getting ready. I'm running around talking to everybody that's there. It's energizing, and you feel so proud of what you're doing. You see everybody. It's like we are a family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh, I got goosebumps. I'm so excited thinking about it. You know, the first time I did it, I just didn't think it was going to be. I thought, I've been in parades before.
Sure.
No, once you get out onto the street, people are clapping and cheering and hugging you and thanking you for being there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we have handouts and just different things. And I'm excited.
For me, the biggest thing is because we do see all the different corporate sponsors and all that, and that is amazing to see all the different organizations locally that support us and that have maybe employee resource groups that do promote LGBTQ employees and all of that. But I think for me, one of the biggest things is, again, if you're LGBTQ, obviously, I think coming to an event like this helps create that sense of community and brings us all together, especially in times where I think we all need that literal and figurative hug. to have that warmth for all of us. But if you're an ally, or if you're just somebody that wants to learn and know more, when you see, lack for a better word, parade, this parade of agencies and different nonprofits that exist that you may not even realize that, oh, wow, there's a group out in Jamestown, or, oh, wow, there's a group in Cattaraugus County, or
Batavia,
or that they focus on this or particular type of work, or this group focuses on adoptions, or this one does that. Your eyes start to open. You're like, wow, okay, there are services here. There are things that I can go back to and link with. And so it does open, it makes the world a little bit bigger for you at that point.
Wow.
Gives you some hope.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah. Right.
Because I think a lot of people think they're alone, and you're not alone.
Yeah.
Well, it really has grown to be a huge event in Buffalo, hasn't it?
Yes. It absolutely has.
Yes.
Yes, it has.
Out of control.
Out of control.
But we love it.
I love the out of control.
It's structured chaos. Yeah.
Structured chaos. Okay, I like that. Yeah. I mean, it's just so you get so much energy. You may get up at dark 30, mm-hmm. but you get there, you are just ready to go and wow, yeah.
And shameless plug for us, if you decide to walk with Niagara Pride with our contingent,
shameless plug.
You will get a Niagara Pride t-shirt or a Niagara Pride bucket hat so that you can wear it, keep it, promote us. Yeah, it's a little thing to help people, encourage them to walk with us.
And you get to walk with me.
And your angel wings.
And my angel wings. I have rainbow angel wings.
I did see on the website a picture of you with your angel wings.
Yes, that's right.
And it's all coming back together here. You know, we've only got like about 3-4 minutes left to go. And instead of maybe, you know, trying to laundry list and go through the events and such like that, just the idea that, what does it say about Niagara Pride that how busy you guys will be? I mean, you've already talked about it for the year so far, but what's going on in June? I mean, you've got, you know, you got Oliver Street, you got Lockport. I mean, we've already talked about Newfane. Yep. You know, we've got the Rainbow City Pride coming up. I mean, what does it to say about what's going on?
I think it speaks to this swelling and this growth in the community that we have seen people who are no longer afraid, who are just staying at home or thinking, I can't get the services I need or I can't access what I want. The only way I can do that is via the computer, or I have to drive an hour or more sometimes to get to that program or to that particular event. This is saying that right where you are, right in your hometown, in your part of Niagara County, in some of the most rural places, there are people like you who have common interests, who want to see you succeed and be successful and be authentic. And you don't have to go outside and search that an hour away or find it only on the internet. You can find it in person, in your community. And I think that's really been the success of Niagara Pride, is that we have taken this grassroots movement and made it real. And we continue to stay within that grassroots mentality, that as much as we do for Western New York and the programs like our scholarships and our grants that go out to all 8 counties of Western New York, you will find our center in Niagara County. You will find Sherry and I at an event in Lockport, in Newfane. We are right there where you are, meeting your needs so that you don't have to go somewhere else. It's, you are part of this community.
And then I'm going to put it's probably going to be our final question here to you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
As you said before, Pride never stops. Pride never stops. You're an ally.
Yes, I am.
Why be an ally? Let's see if we can't encourage that.
The reason I'm an ally is I feel I'm able to, when I have a youth come up to me and say, Sherry, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, let's sit down and talk about this. And then I'm like, Ronald, could you come here, please? And he'll come over and he'll help me explain, well, you can do this and you can do that, and this is available to you. And we need more allies.
Right.
Allies make the world go round. And we make things safe. And I'm going to cry because it means as a youngster, I was treated not so nice. So I know what it feels like. And so I know what the LGBTQ community feels, maybe not in the same way, but in the same way, if you understand that. Mm-hmm. Ally 101.
Allies always welcome.
Allies always welcomed.
Absolutely.
Wow. Always.
Okay. Great conversation. People want to know more. They can go to your new office.
Yes. 1522 Main Street in Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Pinnacle Building.
Yep. Right the Niagara there. Family Center.
Yep.
Or our website, www.niagarapride.org. on Facebook. We are Niagara Pride, parentheses, serving all of Western New York. And on Instagram, we are Niagara_Pride. All of the social medias. We got them.
You got us. You can just, or just come to the office and ask at the front desk for Sherry, and I'll come out and talk to you.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I appreciate your time. I think maybe we'll have to book you for next year. Right now, you guys are so busy. I make sure that we're on the calendar, okay?
Have us more often.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's true. That's true. Come on back. Come on back anytime you want to. We'd love to have you, okay?
Thanks.
All right, let's stay in touch. Us from Niagara Pride, their co-executive directors, Dr. Ron Pianchesny and Sherry Fawcett. Again, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
This has been What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.